It doesn't matter what you are. Punks, skins, rastas, mob, rockers, Keith Chegwin even. Everybody everywhere, stop smogging and pay attention to me. Cause if you're a wild-eyed loner at the gates of oblivion, then hitch a ride with us. Cause we're riding on the last freedom moped out of nowhere. And we haven't even told our parents what time we're coming home. So, pull on your dancing trousers and get down to the total and utter king of rock and roll, Cliff Richard!
What number is this?
Howdy, hi, and welcome. This is Fear of a Dork Planet, episode F-O-R-T-Y.
Oh my god, is it really?
You ain't got no alibi. We've reached episode 40 what was supposed to be a one-shot deal. A one-shot deal, which turned into what could only be described as a
huge mess
every other week, which has now been
almost a year.
In theory, twice a month.
Has it been a year or over a year?
It's been over a year. Because we started last...
Halloween before last.
Okay. No, before that. We were in the summer a little bit.
I thought the first one we did was, like, in November.
Maybe? I thought it was further.
Oh, because
you were writing your top 100...
Yes, the...
Splatter
list thing. Which still gets the most hits on my blog.
Really? Well, that makes sense, because people like numbers.
Yeah.
And so and people check in stuff. I know, right? Well, we got a bunch of things to talk about today. I have been and survived to the American South.
Yes.
I just spent a week, a little under a week, down in Tennessee with my awesome, super rad cousin, Stacy.
Who I just added on Facebook.
Nice.
Please add me back, Stacy.
And turns out that... We went down just to visit. It was just a random excursion. But here's the messed up part. It came on the heels, and I think we mentioned this last time maybe, but when I went to go see Pam, the psychic, she predicted I would take a road trip with a family member. Well, I did this, and I had a great time. Highlights of the trip, crossing into Tennessee from 81 West. As you leave Virginia into Tennessee.
I haven't driven through there forever.
On the right-hand side, top of the hill, is a huge Confederate flag.
Oh, God.
No American flag, just a massive Confederate flag. On the other side of the street is a store, and I shit you not, called Gun Runners.
Oh, my God.
And on the side of Gun Runners, where you can rent or buy machine guns, as advertised, it says Jesus Saves on the side of their building. There's another sign that says, Heaven or Hell, you decide. And then a sign for the Lion's Den Adult Boutique.
That about sums up Tennessee.
I was like, whoa, Tennessee, can we slow down on the messages here? Can we, like, just relax just a little bit?
What is that Heaven or Hell, you decide? Because I've seen that same billboard in downtown
Providence. Yeah, I think that's, who are the people who come to your house? Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
I think that's their shtick.
Okay.
But we stayed at a hotel in Virginia on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
So we went down. We stayed in Allentown for like 45 minutes, an hour. Had lunch there.
Got caught in a torrential rainstorm.
It was insane. We got out of the car. It rained on us. We were soaked clean through. And then sat for 6 more hours in damp.
And chafed.
Yeah, oh, it was awful. So we ended up, we got to this hotel and we reeked. We smelled so bad. We probably found the only Mexican restaurant in Virginia, had dinner. It was still, so good. And then we rented this hotel room and it was the Rode Inn, R-O-D-E-I-N-N.
Yeah, okay. Was there a mechanical bull?
No.
I guess you have to go a little further south for that.
But this place, this room, this is the kind of room people get murdered in.
Oh,
so there was the main outside hotel rooms, the ones with the two floors.
Yeah.
And then there was a separate building with our room. And it was honestly, Stacy, as we walked in, was like, this is how we're dying, huh? this is where it all ends. So, we went to sleep and moved furniture up against the door and stuff like that.
I've done that.
It was pretty scary. It was cheap.
I'm sure it was.
And then the next day, as we were checking out, there was a woman who was trying to figure out her bill because she had paid $84 for the night,
mm-hmm.
which was more than we paid, and she used TripAdvisor or Travelocity or one of those things, but she was getting charged $185. And this guy was attempting, like the guy, the manager was attempting to do the math on how she, in one night, managed to spend more than $100. And she just like was not getting it. And Stacy and I were even really confused. But you know, it's the kind of conversation, like some conversations you butt in on and some you stay far away from.
Yeah.
This one, we were like, maybe we should just run. You know, like,
get real. She ordered porn. Come on.
That's a lot of porn. $100 worth of porn, especially in this day and age of free porn on the internet. So that was crazy. Had a great time, like I said, hanging out by
the cement
river.
Pond?
Yeah, it is. It's a man-made lake that has been flooded, but it was all old farmland, mm-hmm. right? And they tore down houses and stuff. My aunt didn't want her grandkids swimming too far away from the dock because it's a massive lake. You can swim and swim and swim, and there's nothing that can harm you in it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But she didn't want them swimming like too far out. So she told them that they flooded the farmlands in one moment, and that there's actual bodies that will grab you under the water.
Wow, thanks.
So you get that thought in your head. But we went into these silos that were partially submerged silos, and you have to swim underwater into this maybe like 3x3 square Mm-mm. foot, you know, square. And then you have to climb these metal rungs, and some of the rungs are missing. So you actually have to like put your back up against the wall, reach high, and pull yourself up.
Okay, you know I'm both claustrophobic and terrified of water.
Right? Yeah, both of those things were cured instantly.
No.
And then you jump off this 30-foot tall thing.
The jumping part is fine. No.
It was nuts. Then, of course, there was the, what do you call that thing where the moon went over the sun?
Oh, the total eclipse?
The total eclipse, yes. And that was rad.
Of your heart?
Don't do that. But we were in the zone of coverage, whatever it was.
You were like 96%.
Yeah, so that was really, really amazing. And then, let's see. So I got sunburned because I hadn't been out in the sun all summer. I mean, my SPF is roof, you know? And I was reading in bed, and I dropped my book, and it fell under the bed. So I reached my hand under my aunt's guest room bed.
Did you find the skin suit?
Close. I was like, this is a box. And I pulled it out, and it was, I thought it was going to be a guitar case, right? So I was like, oh, because whenever you play guitar, and ever someone says, I have a guitar, you're always curious about what it is, you know? It turned out to be a banjo from the 50s that's in, like, perfect condition. And so I said, you know, Aunt Joy, what's up with this old banjo? She goes, oh, I played that when I was a little girl. You know, I was in my teens, I played banjo. Take it.
What?
And I was like, okay. So I Googled it, and it was like a high-end banjo then. I think it's worth like $500-$600. Obviously, I'm not selling it. I'm going to bring it to Noel Guitar and have them fix it up for me mm-hmm. so that this winter, one of my myriad of activities is going to be to try to play the banjo.
Are you going to learn how to squeal like a pig?
That's racist.
No,
not every banjo player also is in Deliverance. So that was how I spent the last week of my summer. And of course, on the way home, of course, I say, we got stuck in horrible traffic. We left Knoxville, Tennessee, and we were supposed to make Harrisburg by like 7:30
because everybody
that
went
night.
Down there for the eclipse.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then everybody was bringing their kids back mm-hmm. to school. We made it halfway through Virginia by 9:30 p.m. It was stop and go. And have you ever traveled and used the map thing on the phone?
No.
And it's like, okay, so it'll be like, you know, take 81 West,
mm-hmm.
take exit 4. It kept looping us around, so we like 81 basically goes straight up from lower than Tennessee all the way into Pennsylvania and whatnot. But so if you consider it a straight line, it kept bulbing us out, and so we would drive 45 minutes and then get connected to 81 and sit, and then we'd get off the next exit, drive, and we just got so sick and tired of it. But because everybody was going back to school, we couldn't book a hotel room. So we ended up finding another completely dive place. And we were so exhausted and so punch drunk by the time we pulled in that we didn't even care. You mm-hmm. know, we both just collapsed. But turns out the place that we stayed at is sponsored by... Their mascot is the guy from Game of Thrones.
Tormund.
Tormund from Game of Thrones. So I took all these. They have this giant cutout of him.
Oh, my God.
So I took these pictures of her and Tormund and myself and Tormund, and I posted them. And a couple people were actually like, "Where'd you meet him?" And I was like, "No."
Him and Brienne came down to watch the eclipse, yeah.
They were staying at a $79 a night hotel, you know. So, yeah, that was my end of summer. How about you?
I was here in 60% totality, working. Yeah. I didn't see anything. It was just overcast here. We didn't get much of the eclipse.
Yeah, that's typical New England anyway. It's like anytime something fun's going to happen.
It misses us completely.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is a bad transition, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, God, what?
No, I just want to send an official Fear of a Dork Planet, bump of support. To our friends in Texas and Florida who may be affected by the hurricanes.
Oh, hell yeah.
That if you're a listener and you're having a rough time of it, there's not much we can actually do. I mean, I know there's a lot of crap that people are like, "Oh, we don't need your prayers and thoughts." Well, I mean, that's all we can do is to say, hey.
I don't even have a couch to offer up to sleep on.
We're on your side. One of our listeners, I got talking to. And this isn't to beat my own horn. It's just a funny story. So the other night, I'd had a little bit too much to drink. It was like one of the last nights of vacation. I was like, I'm going to have a drink. And then that became another drink. And pretty soon I had like
37 ciders.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I got one of my listeners who I follow on Instagram, their picture came up and I clicked like. And then I was like, I don't know what to say to this person. You know, this person's lost everything. Like, what do I say? So I just sent them a personal message and I said, hey, how's it going? And they're like, good, good. And I said, you know, I feel terrible. I was like, is there anything I can actually do? What can I do besides give $10 to Red Cross?
Right.
And they said, I could use bleach. You know, I could use some bleach.
You are the bleach master.
So I love, and that, like, I'm like, now you are speaking my language.
Eric brought me bleach when I moved into my new apartment.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, and I used it.
Perfect for crime scenes, new apartments, apparently cleaning up after hurricanes.
Yeah, you know, it cleans the red dye out of my bathtub after I do my hair.
Yes, bleach is God's way of saying, get off this planet.
Yep.
And so, not that giving the gift of bleach means that, but I mean, that's what bleach does, is it gets things off this planet. So, I'm a lot drunk. And
what, right now or back then?
No. Well, I realized through Amazon I could send this person bleach.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, dude, hook me up with your address. I'm going to send you some bleach. And they were like, oh, thanks. So I typed it in and I was like, you know, a bottle of bleach is $15. And I was like, nah, that's way too wussy, man. That's nothing. So by the end of the game, I ended up paying like $1 million for bleach. And I was just like, you take all the bleaches.
You have $1 million.
I did. I spent it all on bleach.
Oh, well, thanks, Eric.
You can't use it now. So, but it was... I mean, I thought it was pretty funny. Not toot my own horn or anything like that, but it was just, like, how much bleach is an appropriate amount of bleach to give somebody as a gift?
Well, it's not like it's going to go bad.
Right. Well, that's... So, bleach and vodka. But how much is
too much? Don't get it confused.
So, how much is too much?
There is no correct answer to that question.
Okay. But how much is too little?
One bottle.
Okay, good. So, it wasn't one bottle.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think I sent... Six, I think.
Nicely done, Bleach Master.
But the second they were like, we could use bleach, I was like, oh yeah, in bleach you shall
you
receive.
You asked the right person.
Yes. So hopefully the bleach went to a good cause, and I hope that, I just hope that anybody listening is doing what they can to help out, because, you know, I joke and I'm like, sounds an awful lot like socialism.
Yeah.
But there's nothing much further left than I am, so you need bleach, I'll send you bleach, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? Oh, just read, or in the middle of, tail end of, an amazing book called The Last Days of Jack Sparks.
Which you were telling me about, and I'm very intrigued.
Oh, it's so good. It's as if Hunter S. Thompson or Will Self decided to investigate the supernatural. And the premise is obviously, this is one of these drug-addled, gonzo writers who throws themselves into whatever they do. So it was like Jack's, the first book was Jack Sparks on Gangs, so he joined a violent street gang. The next one was Jack Sparks on Drugs, and so he became a every month he got addicted to a different drug. Which to me sounds brilliant. Like if I was an investigative journalist, I think that would be right up my alley.
You're just looking for an excuse to do drugs.
Well, yeah. So this next one, the third book in this fictional character's cycle is Jack Sparks on the Supernatural, in which he is going to investigate a bunch of supernatural things. He's already decided in his head it's a hoax. That's all bullshit.
So he's a lot like you.
Yeah, pretty much. That no matter what he sees, he'll have a quick and snappy answer for it. But what happens is it sets up as a horror book and really becomes... The horror is there, trust me. I mean, it gets scary and creepy. And if you're listening to it on tape, it's genuinely fear-inducing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, like, I have to buy the audiobook now.
I do this thing where like I'll buy a book, and then if I'm reading it and I'm like, oh, this is really good, and then I look on Audible, and it'll say like, you know, people will be like, oh my God, the reading of this is so amazing, that I'll use my Audible credit to balance, you know, to listen to it and read it. And it had the only pull quote on it is from Alan Moore. And he's like, this is amazing.
Wow.
So I was like, all right, cool. So I'm reading it and it's good read. And I'm listening to it on audio and I get to the scary part. And even though it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I was listening to it while driving, I was getting really freaked out. but it becomes a look at how self, what's the word I'm looking for? How selfishly or how narcissistic modern communication has made us. That we don't talk to each other, that we talk over each other, that we, you know, we're selfie involved, that nothing is real unless we have proof, and our proof comes in the way of pictures and images and updates. Well, what happens if something is supernatural and can't be photographed, but you experience it? Does it still happen? And it becomes this really deep take on the narcissism of today's culture in a way that's not very preachy.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, yeah. So it's got some good stuff there. There's a lot of fun. There's a lot of really fun pop culture references. At one point, he interviews the guy from Blair Witch Project. Roger Corman makes a guest appearance. but what's interesting is, so I was doing some research on the book, right? Mm-hmm. So I typed it into Amazon, and the two fictional books that appear in the novel both come up in the quick searches on Amazon. And there's an actual Father John Sparks,
really?
Whose whole shtick is taking old texts about combating the evils and, what is it, devils of the soul, and how to fight demons, basically. Mm-hmm. And this father, Jack Sparks, has sort of rewritten these medieval texts to fit contemporary times.
I gotta read these.
And these are like three real books. And so they're Victory in the Unseen Warfare, Virtue in the Unseen Warfare, also called Spiritual Combat, which is funny when you read The Last Days of Jack Sparks, because there's a combat magician in it. And then the last one is Prayer in the Unseen Warfare. So it's really kind of cool about how, you know, it's an updated version on how we can fight the enemies of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the kind of book that I think that just listening to it or reading it and catching some of the references is only the tip of the iceberg.
Did you ever read Justin Evans' A Good and Happy Child?
No.
It's along the same lines. It takes place in New England back in the 70s. You know, they're getting into, this college professor disappears and his son is like getting into what he was doing, which was exorcisms and such. But yeah, I think you'd like it.
Huh.
I have a copy. You can borrow it if you want.
I will. This book actually kind of sped its way to the top of my book list.
Uh-huh.
I have a pretty hefty stack of stuff I've got to get through.
Well, no rush. I didn't mean right this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give it to me now. I'm going to do a live reading of it over the show and my own Audible audition.
Nice.
And so that's what I've got. What have you seen anything or been interested in anything? I know you've been working.
Yeah.
A ton.
Tons of hours because we lost three people. So, yeah.
Oh my God, have you searched the store?
There's this massive sinkhole in the cosmetic aisle. I know, it's weird.
Hey, you don't mind going out to get some cover-up, do you? No.
No, I've been doing movie reviews with my friend Christine. I don't know if you've seen that.
I saw them. I read the first one, but I've been off social media, so I haven't really been following
when
they've been popping up.
We've done three now, I think. We started with The Void because we were both Gaga.
Right.
And we just did Harbinger Down, which was not good. Wasn't terrible.
Harbinger or Harbinger?
Harbinger. Is how they pronounce it in the movie. But Lance Henriksen is in it, and he makes anything good.
Well, he's awesome.
Yeah.
So who is this person that you're doing it with?
Christine Haddon.
Okay.
She, oh my God, she's going to kill me. I forgot the name of the website she writes for. She's been a writer about as long as I have, and she was working on her website when I was working for Brutal as Hell, and we kind of got together and did some projects, you know, and then we both kind of quit because we're like, this sucks.
Yeah.
But we still really like horror movies, so we decided, hey, let's get together. She lives in Pennsylvania, and we just kind of message back and forth on Facebook and just talk about movies as we watch them.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's fun.
Do you think she would be interested in doing some fill-in episodes or guest spots maybe with you and have you guys talk about the movies and stuff?
I think that would be awesome. I'll definitely ask her.
We're pitching this to her right now. Because we could set that up on the computer very easily.
Yeah. I think she'd be down. I'll definitely ask her.
That would give me a little bit of a break.
You would miss me.
I would definitely miss you. But I started doing another show.
Cheating on me.
I know.
You bastard.
I know. With my workout husband, Chris.
Yeah, so tell us about this show.
So I've been working for a while. I did The Novel Sound. I finally wrapped that up after 99 episodes and ran for 7 years. It was as popular as an independent, non-advertised, non-major league, non-celebrity endorsed podcast could be.
Enough said.
Thank you very much. And I was trying to pitch a few different ideas to some people and got bogged down. I got as far as meeting a guy who had been a producer out in L.A. And I had a great idea for a show. And then he came in and was like, this would make it better. And I was like, you're damn right that would make it better. And then got so overwhelmed by the project, it just got turned around that I was like, I have to walk away from this. I can't do this. And that was kind of a letdown. But what would have made it interesting was the stuff that was going to be the really difficult part of the labor. And since I'm used to only doing one two-man projects, or one two-woman projects, it would have needed support, more support than I had. So I got talking to my buddy Chris, and I was like, you know, we should do a show where we just take an entire album, like something easily recognizable as a classic album. Not classic rock per se, but like a classic punk album. But like nothing that's too esoteric. Not like, oh man, what about that Into Another album that only 16 people love? But something with a broad scope. So we decided to do The Misfits Walk Among Us. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it cut by cut, song by song.
Is that the name of your show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the page
I just liked on Facebook that you sent me?
I hope so.
Yeah, I liked it. I don't know what the hell I liked, though, because it was like I was on my way to bed.
Yeah, so basically every episode, it's going to... We did something... Because you and I, our schedules are so bonkers, we meet when we can.
Right.
Chris's schedule, he's a little bit more constant. So we sat down, and because we already have the... Because we already have, like, the content is there. Just talk about this.
Yeah.
So we sat down and just in one night pumped out like 6 episodes. And they're only between 20 minutes and a half an hour. So it was great. So what, you know, 3 hours, we ended up getting all this extra stuff done.
Yeah.
And so they're all they're all edited down and ready to go. And the hard work was done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool. So now we can go on and have these big breaks and then meet up every few months.
Yeah.
So it's a cool way of doing it.
Well, I actually have a day off tomorrow, so I will post a link to that onto the Fear of the Dork Planet page.
And I will cross-post your Maria Knox Swallowing Black Stars. Christine, sorry.
That's okay.
We both looked at the mic as if a hand was going to come out and throttle me.
Don't smack me. I'll link you to her, too. So yeah. And you'd like her. She's cool.
Where did you say she's from?
Pennsylvania.
You don't know whereabouts?
I think she's around the Pittsburgh area, so.
Oh, she's a West Coaster. Yeah, she's one of those.
Yeah. We're from the east part of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. When you're from the east, you're east all the way from your first pierogi to your times in filet. All right, there we go.
To mention something about a cheesesteak in there.
I know. I don't like cheesesteaks.
What? What is wrong with you? You never went to South Street and got a cheesesteak?
No, I did. I feel like it's one of those foods that as I'm eating, I feel like I'm going to be regretting immediately.
Well, duh. That's why you eat it.
Yeah, but that's like... That's like hate eating food, you know?
Some of my fondest memories are of just wandering down to South Street in the 90s. I took the train by myself, walked down Jewelers Row by myself.
But that is, do you think that's something like as you get older, you're like... Because I used to love, you know, pouring out of a club in Philly and then going over and getting like slices that were as big as my skull.
Mm-hmm.
And wolfing them down and having had like six beers. And now that I'm, you know, older...
Way older.
Twice my age. I can't, like, even having a beer, I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to have to run an extra mile tomorrow.
It definitely wears off with age.
Yeah.
But I think in the early 90s, for me, just going into a city by myself on the subway and wandering about with the steam coming up out of the, you know, the sidewalk fence, yeah, that was pretty cool for a 21-year-old. We didn't have internet back then.
Were you ever worried about chuds?
No. That's New York.
Well, chuds could be in anywhere or in any city.
They hadn't spread yet.
Were you worried about Pickle Ricks?
I'm always worried about Pickle Ricks.
So you...
That was the worst segue ever, by the way.
That was an amazing segue because it starts midway through.
Tarnishing my memories of wandering around Philly.
But with Pickle Rick!
Yes, so Eric made me watch... I'm seriously behind on Rick and Morty. But I did watch season one. I have season one and season two. I just haven't gotten around to season three. So Eric forced me at gunpoint this evening to watch the Pickle Rick episode.
And
it was amazing.
So what were some of the highlights as far as you're concerned?
Spoilers, why do you have to question it? He's a pickle. Just appreciate him being a pickle.
I know. So I was amazed by Susan Sarandon's guest appearance as Dr. Wong.
Racist name, by the way.
And the end... when she gives her big speech about how maintenance of the human body and the brain is boring.
Yeah.
And so many people don't want to do it, but you need to maintain yourself. You have to keep up on keeping your friendships alive and keeping all the stuff that seems boring and like adulting, you know? Mm-hmm. So I loved that speech. And then I went on Reddit, and that kind of ruined everything, because people were like, oh, I wasn't blown away by it. It was obvious stuff out of character. And I thought, yeah, you morons, because, like, that's kind of the point, is that this is something that's painstakingly obvious. And yet, how many of us neglect ourselves, or we're our own worst enemies? We battle our own mind. We try to dismiss emotion through intellect. How many times do we blame people for their own things, right? Like, oh, my mom has cancer. Well, that's because she smoked. You know what? I can feel bad that she has cancer. Like, it's not a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
She got sick. That's a separate entity. Yeah, she could have taken better care of herself. And you could eat less fatty foods. And you could probably stand to do 10 push-ups. You know, like, it had to be obvious. Because many of us know it and ignore it. And I felt like that was really besides getting preachy here for a minute, really the important essence of that episode for me.
I was just amazed at how many times they said fuck.
Well, yeah, but it's all beeped on. And that's because I have it through Amazon. I think if it's on regular TV, it's all beeped.
Yeah.
And so now I just got off my high horse. Do you think that a show is funnier if the swears are beeped or if they're included?
I think it's if they're included. I mean, it's part of the English language, whether you like it or not. They're descriptive words. People use them. Like you were telling me about that self-defense class?
Yeah.
We should talk about that a little bit.
So First, I just want to finish this thought, and then we'll get back to the self-defense thing. But, see, I remember watching South Park with, you know, and all the beeps on TV and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then you'd buy the CDs and or the DVDs, and all the swears would be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that it was funnier with the beep, like they were playing against... Yeah, because they were playing against the censorship. So I always kind of, in my head, had the swears being so offensive that it had to be beeped out. Like, there's that great moment in Arrested Development. Did you ever see it?
No.
The show? There's a moment where Buster is, he's like a 40-year-old man child. He still lives with his mom. He still, like, sometimes sleeps in her bed. There's this whole weird thing going on with him. And he gets drunk and with his siblings. And they're like, yeah, so I said beep, and I said beep. And Buster goes, oh, yeah, well, one time I told Mom, you better. And the beep goes on for like a minute. And they're not showing him. They're just showing like the reactions of all his siblings. And they're all like mortified and like physically like moving in their chairs because it's so uncomfortable. That to me is way funnier than actually hearing what he was probably scripted to say.
That reminds me of an episode of C-Lab 2021 where they have this whole dialogue at the end that they bleep out where he's like, yeah, I was down in Tijuana, you know, bleeping an orangutan, and they bleep out all these words, and then they finally have a re-edit.
Yep.
And they're like, totally normal, safe words, and it becomes meaningless.
Yeah, there's just something about that beep that's... It's so over the top, and it's hilarious.
I don't understand why people have such a problem with cussing. It's like they're just words.
Yeah, I think there's this pretend notion of sort of civility. I mean, you're going to hear them all if you watch a football game. Everything's live mic'd. It all comes through. That's okay. You know, no one gets in trouble for that noise.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this kind of, what is it, the puritanical ethic, right? That swears will be... The thing that brings our society down. Yeah, I know. Have you listened to your president, folks?
I think it's when you cuss that matters. It's like, I know how to conduct myself when I'm at work. I don't cuss, you know.
Yeah.
I just lost my train of thought there. But anyway, I mean, when you and I talk, you know. You're basically my brother.
We use offensive language.
Yeah,
language
because I'm comfortable around eardrums. You. And yeah. I know you don't care.
Yeah, I don't stinking care about no dang language.
You effing...
Warthog from hell.
Yeah.
So
bleep that.
We had put a pin in something. What did you want to put a pin in?
The self-defense thing.
Oh, so...
I bought pepper spray.
Congratulations. Tell us about your pepper spray. What did you read reviews? How did you decide on the pepper spray that you were going to purchase?
I've been meaning to buy it for years. We don't live in the safest neighborhood because I'm sure you guys can hear the sirens going back and forth on our show all the time. And sometimes I come home late at night and there's a lot of weirdos wandering around here. So I was like, you know, I don't want a gun. I can't afford a gun.
Is it you don't want a gun? You can't afford a gun?
It's both.
Or you're afraid to own a gun?
It's all three, actually, because
okay.
I know how to use a gun. I've used a gun before. I'm afraid I would blow my own face off, because that's just
You know that
I
the
am.
Business end faces away from...
Oh, is
faces,
that how it works?
Yeah, it's front towards
Shut
enemy.
It
actually probably says it right on the front.
No, and I can't afford one. So I was like, hmm. And then one of the girls I work with had a tiny little pink cylinder that looked really feminine and Hello Kitty cute. And I was like, what the hell is that? She's like, oh, it's red pepper spray. I was like... Really? That's kind of cool.
Nice.
So, yeah, I just went on Amazon and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get the twofer. One for me, one for Mom. $20.
Oh, that's nice. You guys have matching...
Yeah, we have little pink matching pepper sprays.
I'm okay with gun ownership. I mean, I'm not... I think the argument is all wrong.
Yeah.
I think that the way in which the left tackles gun owners is the wrong way. Because they're not attacking it in any way that's leaves a gun owner with a sense of dignity. You know, it's guns are bad, guns are evil, guns kill people, you're terrible for owning a gun. Well, look, my uncle, he and I have some philosophical differences or very thick political differences. But the man he's a gun owner.
Mm-hmm.
And he is an unbelievably safe gun owner. He makes his own, ammunition. He goes to the range. All his guns are locked up in boxes, and then those boxes are locked in a safe. And he is very serious about his gun ownership. He takes it very, very seriously. There's no screwing around. There's no anything. Even all of his, I forget what he called it, but all his ammunition, all the gunpowder and stuff, even that's in locked boxes in a locked room. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, there's a million ways people could probably break in, but he's also not the kind of guy who, no pun intended, would go off half-cocked. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a responsible kind of guy. And I think most gun owners are some shade of that. I would be willing to say that if there's more guns than people in this country, then we're actually faring pretty safe in terms of the amount of gun violence. The
problem, I don't really have a problem with guns either.
Yeah, and so I was looking into getting one. But I was like, you know what? If I'm going to... I'm so ostentatious that I'm like, I'm going to get a gun, I'm going to get... And it was a... The Mercedes 357. Guns. What was it? 357. It was called the Rhino. Mm-hmm. And it's the same... Oh, it was used in a movie. Like a futuristic cop movie. And I was like, that's the gun I want. And it looks like, it just looks like a hand cannon. I mean, it looks like the kind of thing that you fire and there's no way that you can hold it steady. It looks clearly designed to bring down jumbo jets.
It'll probably knock you on your ass the first time you fire it.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. And even when I told my aunt, I was like, oh, this is what I want. She was like, Eric, that will kill you. Like, you are going to, like, start off small, hon. She's like, get a 9mm, you know, you want something with a little bit of power, get a shotgun.
And even those, I mean, they...
Oh, yeah.
They jump.
Well, I haven't used a gun since I was in my early 20s. I have weird experiences with guns. So my first one was living in Allentown, and the woman I would be my first wife... We were house-sitting for friends, and we're watching TV, and there's this, like, click, 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 click sound. And I'm like, what the hell is that noise? And so I look out the window, and there's two kids, like, dry-clicking a gun just at each other's faces. It's an empty gun. And I'm like, I'm going to call the cops. And she's like, no, no, no. And she opens the front door, and she goes out, and she just starts laying into these kids, screaming. And...
That's when you knew you were going to marry her.
Yeah, and that's when I was like, God, I'm making a huge mistake. No. They ended up leaving and whatnot. My second experience was playing with a gun when I was 14, 15, mm-hmm. with a friend of mine. We'd found his dad's gun, and that's a story that I don't really want to retell, but nobody got shot, but it was pretty damn close. Mm-hmm. Like, so my examples with guns are all super irresponsible gun owners. And then the third example was a buddy of mine had just come back from Sarajevo. He was serving over there. And he had brought some guns and we were test firing some stuff in the woods. Mm-hmm. And the gun jammed. And he was like, okay, here's what you're going to do. I want you to, you know, get your finger off the... Like, he walked me through all the steps. And I remember just being so freaked that I was going to die in the woods of southern Rhode Island. You know, like, okay, I'm going to blow off my fingers. And that it just unnerved me.
Yeah. I shot myself in the head the first time I fired a gun.
In the head?
Yep.
God, that explains so much.
Shut what the happened? Hell up. So I was dating a guy at the time, and he was former military. And he's like, hey, let's go out to the firing range. I'm like, okay. So he's teaching me how to shoot, and I'm shooting. And, you know, you're in that little, like, booth setup.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't realize it, but one of the bullet casings came out, hit the side of the wall, and then hit me right in the head. I never felt it. I turned around.
So you didn't really shoot yourself. It was more like the recoil caught you.
Yeah, I just like saying I shot myself in the head. But I turn around, and my boyfriend's like, you're bleeding. I was like, oh, really?
Oh, wow. So you really got hit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And burned slightly. It was a hot casing.
Yeah. I mean... It had just been used to fire.
I was a pretty good shot, though. I actually hit the target once or twice.
Nice.
I know, right?
Nice. Yeah, I'd like to go back to a range at some point. And
I'd go with you.
All right.
Cool.
It's a deal.
Let's shoot some shit.
A very special episode of Fear of a Dork Planet.
We kill stuff.
Yeah. That was a huge digression from an actual topic, though, that we were on. What was it?
Self-defense and cussing.
Oh, self-defense. So this gym that I go to, Just Train, The owner, Chris, has a women's self-defense course. And his whole philosophy about self-defense is that most of the time, people don't... I'm going to say it in a way that's wrong. Chris has a much better way of saying it. But it stems from the fact that we are bred, as a lot of Americans are, to not hurt, to not swear. We're told as kids, don't hurt somebody. You don't punch them, right? You never, ever hit. And I don't know if you were raised that way, but I certainly was. And so sometimes when we find ourselves as victims, we have more power than we think we do. But we freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And we get unsettled because we, in that moment, have to untrain ourselves from this large list of things. And a lot of people, there are people out there who have no problem making that switch, who are just like, yeah, I could kill somebody. But most of us, if we were to punch another person in the face, would really almost feel bad about it. I had an experience where I was jumped living in Allentown, and I remember one of the reasons I didn't fight back or scream was because I just kept thinking, it's not going to get this bad. Like, it's not going to get worse than this. It's not going to get worse than this. And every time they hit me, I kept thinking, they'll stop. They didn't. Spoiler alert.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, right? they knocked a lot loose, I think. But the moral of the story is he starts his class for like an hour just having people yell, fuck you, at each other. You know, he's like, okay, we're going to practice. And he said, many of the people who take this class have a lot of problems just doing that.
Mm-hmm. And because most of them are women. Yeah. And women are, you know, raised to be polite. Keep your voice down. You know, don't cuss. It's not ladylike. Don't make a scene. Don't blow things out of proportion. You know, you have to be very, you know, just in control of your emotions.
Right. And the yelling fuck you at another human being isn't going to stop somebody.
No, but it'll certainly give them pause.
Right. It could give you that moment you need, but it also is the opening of the door to, you have to be aware that you might kill, you have to want to kill this person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the second you get involved, this isn't kickboxing, this isn't boxing, this isn't judo where they're going to, you know, or taekwondo where they're going to throw their punch
and then wait for you to hit
and
back.
You're going to block.
They're
right?
going to try and kill you.
You fight as, you know, that's all well and good for those kind of situations where you're in a judo class or you're training, or maybe it gives you the confidence knowing that you can hit somebody,
mm-hmm.
but you have to do more than just hit them.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared to take out their eyeball. You have to be prepared to make them bleed. You have to be prepared to break their teeth. And even as I say it, I'm like, I don't even know if I could do that.
I've gotten jumped a couple times as a girl, you know, guys try and take advantage. The only way out of it sometimes is to just go ballistic on them, start screaming and kicking and scratching, and they leave you alone. Sometimes they don't, but.
This is a dark episode. We've gone to some really...
We're going to need more bleach.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, but it was cool, and I'm glad that things like that exist, because I think that people need permission, you know, and I don't want to get political, but especially as riots and especially as alt-right and alt-left, for whatever that means, actually converge, that... We tend to always, I don't know, we tend to abhor violence, which is a good thing. You should not want to get into a fight.
But if you have to.
Right.
You've got to be on their level.
Right. What is that line from Hamlet where Polonius is talking to Laertes and he says, beware of entrance into a brawl,
mm-hmm.
but by joining, end it, or something along those lines. Like, if you know, don't start a fight, but if you get into it, be sure that you're the one on top.
Right.
You know. And speaking of fighting and brawling, war has come to Westeros.
Oh, were we segueing again?
What did you think of the finale of Gamma off Tiberones?
Okay, spoilers abound. I rewound Littlefinger's death scene at least 36 times.
Doesn't he look like the owner of that Texas church, Littlefinger?
Yes, Joel Osteen. Oh my God, yes. Put a mustache on Joel Osteen.
And you've got Littlefinger. It's
freaking Littlefinger.
I know. And I don't hope that, of course, Joel Osteen meets such a certain...
I do.
...similar fate. I'm just hoping that, you know...
Maisie Williams, where are you?
Yeah, you got some scores to settle, lady. Yeah, that was a pretty solid finale for a season that was relatively lackluster.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it was... I don't think it was lackluster. I mean, you had that whole loot train attack with the dragons and the...
Yeah, but I felt the whole season was a series of repeated motifs. Like, okay, we got the dragon train attacked. Oh, and then she comes down and attacks the White Walkers. Jon Snow.
I was not expecting Viserys to get killed, though. Viserys.
I mentioned it. If you listened to our last episode.
I listened to you. I just didn't want to believe you.
I predicted that.
Did you predict the ice dragon, though?
No. That I did not see.
I did not see that coming.
Which, and I know that the internet has gone crazy with, like, where they get the chains and stuff like that.
Who cares?
But as a visual... I thought it was really cool. What do they call that? The rule of cool?
Yeah.
Whereas if it looks awesome, doesn't matter how well it fits. Like, I mean, half of the Fast and Furious movies are based on rule of cool. How does a car do that? Shut up.
Just enjoy the goddamn movie.
Right, exactly. I liked that week between that episode and the finale where everyone was wondering, what is an ice dragon going to shoot? And I love that it's not ice and cold. It's a mixture. It's like frozen fire is almost what it shoots.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wall comes crumbling.
Yes.
Now, I feel bad. Obviously, when they defeat the White Walkers, I feel bad for the guys who have to go rebuild the wall.
Well, if they defeat the White Walkers, they don't have to rebuild the wall. That's the only reason the wall was standing to begin with.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they built it to keep the White Walkers out, and it's been up so long, thousands of years, people just started thinking, oh yeah, the White Walkers are myth, you know?
Yeah. Well, that I understood. So I like the smashing of the wall, using the dragon to destroy all of the wards in the wall that was keeping them out.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if they had never done anything, if Jon had never gone out there, the White Walkers wouldn't have gotten through. Because right. of the wards in the wall.
Well, it took them long enough to get there, for God's sake.
They're zombies in the cold. They're
I know,
not
we went over
condition.
This last yeah, episode, yeah. but Jesus.
Yeah. And what else did I like? The Littlefinger death was a huge surprise.
Oh, the zombie they brought that the Hound kicked out of the box? That
yeah.
was awesome.
And I like the Hound's... I love that Cersei is like, I don't believe in zombies. Have you seen The Mountain?
Hello, it's basically Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, like you don't believe in a whole army of the things that are standing right next to you?
You've got one right in front of you.
Yeah, he's looking rough.
Yeah, well, he looked worse when he was playing Predator.
Yeah, that's true. he also, what did he looked like something, and in that moment
he looked like Darth Vader with his helmet
did.
Off.
Yes.
I posted that on my Facebook.
Yes. When he, you know.
When they, yeah, in the... Return of the Jedi, where they...
Yeah,
been.
Where he takes off,
yeah.
Let me look on you with my
with
own
my
eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's good to see Sansa getting her just due. I know that you're not a fan of Sansa, but I've always felt that she was...
I don't really mind her. I just want... I really want a Hound and Sansa hookup, finally.
I think that a
I mean,
lot of people give Sansa
the
crap based on who she was before she went through everything she went through.
Right.
So that scene where she's standing... with Arya, and Arya's like, you're right, I couldn't have survived what you went through. That was more for the fans who can't seem to somehow forgive Sansa for being a 15-year-old girl. You know, yeah, she had visions of wanting to be queen.
What little girl doesn't?
You know, yeah, she wanted to be powerful and tough. Of course she did.
But did you all forget the scene where she was going to kill Joffrey?
Right, or some of the other, we won't go into them, but some of the other brutal moments where she is...
That was when she made her turn, though, was that episode
yeah.
where she was going to shove him and the Hound stopped her.
Yeah, you know, and so she is tougher than a lot of people give her credit for, and I think, so I'm excited. I'm excited to see next season Cersei. I'm always excited to see her, though. She's...
You've got the hots for Cersei? What is the matter with you?
Well, Lena Headey, the woman who plays her, yeah. She's kind of my current crush, I think.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And let's see. Is there anything else we want to talk about? Any previews or movies or any more Game of Thrones that you wanted to shoot about?
I want to go see the new Darren Aronofsky film.
Okay, pretend I know nothing about Darren Aronofsky.
He's the guy who did Pi and The Fountain and Black Swan.
What was the... Did he do Neon Angel?
You're thinking of Neon Demon, and no. Okay. That was a different guy.
So he did Pi. That means he... Did he also do the time travel one? Wasn't there a time travel one?
Yeah, that was
did?
The Fountain, wasn't it? I didn't see that one. I saw Black Swan, which I wasn't really thrilled a bit with, but... yeah, he's coming out with a new movie this autumn called Mother.
Mother.
And Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem star in it, and also Stephen McCaddy is in it.
Ooh.
He's my current crush.
Stephen McCaddy?
Yeah.
See what I did there? I bet no one else has done that.
Yeah, never, ever. Mm-hmm. He was a star of Pontypool, which you haven't watched yet.
No, I was going to watch it last night, but I fell asleep at 8 p.m.
Mm. You do need to watch that movie.
I've been falling asleep a lot lately. I think I might be narcoleptic. Or I need to stop doing so much in my day.
Yeah.
I went to go see Atomic Blonde.
Oh, was that
Charlize Theron? Let me begin this review by saying Charlize Theron is awesome. And I don't mean she's beautiful, because she is. But I mean she plays a woman in Monster who, with all this prosthetic makeup, and makes herself purposely hideous. She plays a low IQ British girl in Arrested Development. She plays...
Furiosa.
She's in Atomic Blonde, where she plays an American or British secret agent. It's a beautiful movie. It's really shot very well. It's very timely in that it goes that sense of nostalgia of the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
The plot is so tired. It's the same exact freaking plot as every Mission Impossible movie, which is the list of our agents has gotten out in the public. This could be death to our agency if people find out about it. And it's like, yeah, okay, I get mm-hmm. it. This is the worst thing that you can think of. Like, I've seen Mission Impossible 1 through 7. I know the plots.
I'm very sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never seen any of them.
Oh, they're good outside of the fact that... No, they are. They're pretty good.
I hate Tom Cruise so much.
You got to overlook that because he's...
I can't.
He's good.
I don't like his face.
The fight scenes from Atomic Blonde, if you've seen the ads, they're all in... If you went cold, having nothing about it, you could probably get a great sense of enjoyment. If you've watched the advertisements, all the fight scenes are in the movie. And so there's nothing... There's no point where you're like, whoa! Because they take all those scenes and just, you know, it's just longer. So I was kind of let down by that.
I was still thinking I'm going to go see It.
Yeah, I have no interest.
I do. I'll go by myself.
Yeah. I don't know why.
You're not required to. It's okay.
No, I know. I always feel like something's wrong with me. Like, I also have zero interest in the next two Star Wars films.
Well, there's a lot of things wrong with you, but that's not one of them.
Yeah. But I also have no interest in the next two Star Wars films.
I don't either.
Like, they haven't set out the new advertisement for The Last Jedi, right? It's like 4 months till it comes out. And I just don't care. Like, for multiple reasons, yeah. But...
The closest I get to that whole thing is I follow Mark Hamill on Twitter because he's
He's funny as hell. Yeah, yeah.
And did you see he just posed for a photo with the kids from Stranger Things?
Oh, no kidding, really?
That was adorable, yeah.
That's coming out soon, Stranger Things Season 2.
It is almost officially autumn.
I know. I just rewatched Season 1. That's what I bought.
What?
I bought a coffee mug. What's the name of the cop from Stranger Things?
Oh, God, I don't know. The guy who got killed?
Holland? No, the one he makes it through all the way through. The one who...
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
So it's like the official town coffee mug for the town for Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, it's a prop replica kind of thing. So I bought one, but then there's a woman I work with who is super into Stranger Things and all things geekdom. So it was like I was out with some friends... And we were at the Halloween store because they're starting up. So I go in and I see the mug and I'm like, oh my God, I've got to get this.
Was this a spirit
for our friend Andrea,
store?
Huh?
Was this a spirit Halloween store?
Yeah.
We need to go together. Let's go shopping.
Yeah, we'll go because I want to buy that large, that that ram skull, that goat skull.
Yes! Let's go, let's go.
So, yeah, definitely.
Pinky swear.
So I want to get the ram skull so we can do that maybe this, then go shooting. But I saw it and I was like, oh my God, I got to get this for her. And I'm like, this is so awesome. I need one of these. And then there's that weird moment where you're like, do I just buy one, give it to her and say, okay, I'm glad somebody has this. Or do I? So I did. I did. Good. And now we both walk around school with our Stranger Things town constable mugs.
I do have to ask, while we were rewatching season one, did you look at Matthew Modine and think, what could have been?
Yes. Yes, I did. I looked at that and I was like, you bastard. Thanks for the plug, Nuff said. Yeah, the first time he abuses 11, I was like, yeah, that's what I figured.
Did you see me as 11?
Enemy of, yes, you kicking and screaming and him throwing you in until you apologize.
Yeah, right. I'm not apologizing for that.
Yeah, just real quick, I saw Defenders on Netflix. That was the culmination of, like, the Marvel, Daredevil, Iron Fist, Power Man, Jessica Jones shows.
Oh, I should throw in that Mom got me addicted to a show called The Good Place. Have you seen
Is that the one that's in heaven with Kristen
Bell?
Yes,
it's hilarious.
No, but
hilarious.
I love Kristen Bell. I think she's awesome. It's hilarious. It really good?
It's really funny.
I've heard it's good, but like the people I heard it from were people who kind of like, they watch everything.
It's kind of like Scream Queens.
The way
the humor is delivered, very quickly, you have to pay attention while you're watching.
I wonder
it.
If that's getting a season 3, Scream Queens.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, that season 2 was such a letdown.
Yeah, I stopped about halfway through it.
Yeah,
but
Ted Danson's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this on the show, but that was like one of the worst moments of my life when I realized that I was currently older than Sam was in Cheers.
I never saw what the big deal about him was.
No, but I mean, when I was a kid,
yeah, I know.
He was always an old man. Like, he was always a man. You know what I'm saying? And so you're watching, he's like, I'm 36. And I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. I'm not even just older than Sam. I'm 7 years older than Sam.
We're up closer to Coach now.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's so sad. Oh. And that's going to be our out.
I just broke you.
Finishing this, don't you?
No.
Taking a break in the world today.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're going to go out with the Cheers theme
Fine.
This week.
Okay.
All right, so we'll see you in a couple more weeks.
Yep.
Hey, if you're in the American South, stay safe.
Yes, please.
And I hope that if you are listening and you've had some bad times, so hopefully this made you laugh just a little and took your mind off stuff for just 10 seconds. And if it did, I will consider that a job well done on our half.
If not, if it didn't, Eric will send you bleach.
I will try harder next time. So, all right. So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Peace.
Break my skin, and there's honey.